This Sunday, throughout the entire Archdiocese, they are asking us to talk about the Diocesan Services Fund. Now, every time this the topic of money comes out, I experience, and I've experienced it for 40 years that I've been a priest, and that is, geez, I gotta do it again. And yet, I know that that feeling that I'm getting is wrong. It's wrong. I think I'm infected with the same thing that I think most of us are. That we think that God is over here and money is over here. And neither the twain shall meet. But if you look at Jesus, Jesus is constantly talking about money. Not about how much you make. He's talking about our attitude towards it. Whenever I have to speak on this, I would like to remind you of a little story. And some of you may have heard it before, but I find it tremendous that has to do with this. Father Scott, the other priest here, is the one who tells this story, and I found it charming and true and relatable to what's today. The story is of, and he says it's true. I don't know. I believe Father Scott. He says that it happened in the evangelization of the Vikings. When the first missionaries were going to evangelize the Vikings, first of all, many of them were murdered. But when they started evangelizing the Vikings, they were doing baptisms. And they were doing baptisms in a river. And they would, of course, immerse them in the river. And the women and children were being baptized. That was fine. Everything was cool. But when it came to the men, something started happening that the missionaries did not quite understand. And that is that as they were being baptized, they insisted on holding up their right hand, and they would allow themselves to be immersed totally, except for their right hand. They would leave it stuck out. And at first, the missionaries couldn't figure this out. Why were they, and only the men were doing that. Their right hands were up. Until finally, after asking not the men, because they weren't about to say it, but some of the women, that what was happening was a kind of an infantile understanding of their baptism. You see, they were willing to be baptized, but they wanted their right arm not to be baptized, because they wanted the freedom to do what they had to do without any responsibility and no moral qualms with their right hand, because they were going to war. And so they were all baptized except for their fighting hand. Now, Father Scott brings that story, and he says, you know, I think that that story is applicable to us. Because I think if we were being baptized, we would also hold up our right hand. But our right hand would not have a sword in it. It would have our wallets. We want everything baptized except our finances. And it don't work that way. If you notice today in the gospel, What an interesting, and I don't think they picked this Sunday because of this gospel. But when I was reading the gospel, when Jesus began saying, if you give to those whom you expect to get back, or you lend in order to get back, so what's a big deal about that? And if you help those who are, if you're friends with those who are going to be friends with you, so what's the big deal about that? And if you help those who are going to help you back, so what's the big deal about that? Everybody does that. And then the other part that of the gospel, that came into my head, was, do you remember the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan is the guy, this guy who gets beat up on the road, and he gets beat up totally, and he's dying, and one priest walks by, and a Pharisee walks by, and for them, they're on their way to the temple, and it would make them unclean to touch not only a Samaritan, not only a person, but an unclean person. And so they walk by, and they prefer to keep themselves ritually clean than to help this poor guy who's almost dead. And so then comes this Samaritan. Now you got to remember, Samaritans to the Jews were like the lowest class. They wouldn't even associate or walk on the same street with them. They were considered beneath the Jewish people. And so what does this Samaritan do for another Jew? He stops. He picks up this poor guy. But then what's interesting is what he does. He doesn't just go up to the, guy. Periodically when I tell this story, I always think of this is a parenthesis, okay? Just a parenthesis. I think of when I was back at my first parish, St. Benedict's. We used to do a skit where this poor guy was laying down all beat up. And a Christian would walk by. And the Christian would look and would say, oh, I'm so sorry. You look so bad. Oh, I'll keep you in my prayers. I hope you get better. Okay? Okay. Bye-bye. Have a nice day. Now, you know why I told that? Because we would interview kids for confirmation, and I would ask them, what does it mean to be Christian? And they would say, 90% would say, to believe in God and to be nice. Now, wasn't I nice to that guy who was dying? I said, bye-bye. I said, I hope you have a nice day. I was as nice as I could be. But what didn't I do? I didn't help him. He has no connection to me. He's even a Jew. He's not a Samaritan. Why should I help him? So what does this guy do? The Good Samaritan. He not only takes a person who's unclean because he's all bloody, he takes him, he puts him on his donkey or whatever he had, and he takes him to an inn. He goes out of his way to take him to an inn, and then he tells the innkeeper, here's a certain amount of money. Now he's taking care of the guy who he doesn't know. And who also belongs to a group that hates him. And he picks him up, he takes him, and he says to the innkeeper, here, take this money and take care of this man. And then, when he's given the money to the innkeeper, he says, on my way back, if you have spent any money more than this, I will reimburse you. Now that's what Jesus is teaching us. But he's basically, and you can go on with parables that have to do with money and with credit and with all kinds of different things. Why? Because being Christian is about making sure that we help not only to believe in God, but to be able to say, insofar as I am able, I am going to do something that will help this person if I'm able. I can't help the whole world, but I can do what I can do. And then we make a decision to do it. You don't do it reluctantly. You don't do it, all right, here it is. Because remember, God loves a cheerful giver. If you're all mad and everything, if you do it, and St. Paul says it, look, if you give everything you have and you do it without love, you do it without wanting to be of help, then that means nothing. And so what we're being told to do is genuinely to care. Now, I want you to understand this, because this is the other part of the gospel that I thought was incredibly important. And that is, notice what it starts. It starts with, you will love your enemies. Now, please understand, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the guy who's hurt is an enemy of the Good Samaritan. Now, when the Good Samaritan helps him, I don't think he loves that guy in the way we understand love. Because when Jesus says, love your enemies, he's not saying you have to have romantic feelings or friendly feelings or even affection. He is saying to love means to make a decision to care no matter how you feel. You make a decision to care. And when you make that decision, you do it with the best intentions that you can. Love, the way Jesus was talking about it, was not affection, was not romance, was not friendship. It was the decision to unite yourself with God in caring for the good of another, no matter how you feel. That's the love that Jesus is talking about. So when he says, love your enemies, even us Christians, we're not allowed to desire evil even to our enemies. You don't have to like them, but you gotta love them. Love them in the sense of respecting and wanting what God wants for them. Now, that related to the DSF this Sunday. We're going to watch a little film, a few minutes long, in a minute. The DSF, if you've never heard of it before, and I always have to reintroduce it because there's always new people. It means the Diocesan Services Fund. Okay? Now, what is that? Diocesan Services. What is that? Fund, do you know what it is? There are things that no one parish can do. No one parish can do them. For example, there is a policy that for every parish that exists in your parish boundaries, because all the parishes have boundaries, kind of like cities and states, they have boundaries. If there is a hospital or a nursing home in your parish boundaries, the priests of that parish are responsible for any person that is sick and to minister to them in that facility. So, for example, in this parish, we don't have any hospitals, but we got a boatload of nursing homes. Boatload of them. We are responsible for every single person in those nursing homes. Even if they come from another parish, they're in our parish now. We are responsible for them. Now that seems cool. That means okay. That seems doable. We deal with about 7 or 8 nursing homes. And if, like for example, the parish next door to us, St. Justin, hardly has any nursing homes, but they got West Houston Hospital. They're responsible for that one. If there is anyone who needs a priest at West Houston, even if they belong here, the priests over there are supposed to go and minister to them. That's the way it works. Now, it sounds fine, doesn't it? But let me ask you this. Imagine that we would now be sitting, instead of here at St. Cyril of Alexandria, that we would be, say, at St. Vincent de Paul. St. Vincent de Paul is at the intersection of Buffalo Speedway and Bel Air. Now, do you know what's in their parish? In their parish happens to be the medical center. Now, apply that policy. They are responsible for several thousand beds of all the Catholics there. If that were enacted that way, their parishioners would never see their priests because they can't handle that. And so what do we do? Do we say, well, you know, what the heck? We can't do anything. We can't just say, well, whatever. And so what the archdiocese does is they have a group of priests, which is called the Chaplains Corps. And all they do is they go to the medical center. It's like 10 or 12 priests. And all they do is that. Because you can't just let it go and say, no, they don't belong to us. Folks, that's why we're Catholic. We're Catholic because Catholic means including all, for all. And so it's because Jesus told us to. And we have to do it. It's not a matter of just, oh, it's spiritual between me and Jesus. That's there. But it's got to be, we got to have our feet planted on the ground. We got to do love. Remember, when Jesus talks in the end, he's talking about the end of the world, and he's talking about the judgment. Do you remember what he says is the criteria in the judgment? He doesn't say, how many times did you go to church? He doesn't say, how many times did you sing praises to me? He doesn't say, how many flowers did you bring to the Blessed Virgin? Those things are nice. But what does he say? I was hungry. You gave me to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me a drink. I was in prison. You visited me. I was sick. You comforted me. And you go on and on. Notice what those things are. Those things are things you do. They're things you do. And that's the criteria. The criteria for love is the decision to care. DSF, what they do is they take all of those ministries that no one parish can do, and they put resources to make sure that they're covered. For example, the prisons. If you're in prison, thousands of prisoners, there's a chaplain's corps for that. Do you know that Houston has thousands of sailors that arrive at the port of Houston? Do you know before the Catholic Church and other churches started being there in a big building called the Chaplain's Center, the Seafarers Center, do you know who used to hang out waiting for the boats? Prostitutes and drug dealers. And it's only when we got there that we gave them a place to come, a place to call home, a place that they could come and relax off the ship. That's loving them. And that's what we got to do. That and many, many other ministries. So, I'm going to ask the video now to start. I'm going to ask Fred to lower the lights and just watch it. It talks about the different ministries, and it highlights several of them. It'll give you a better idea. So, in closing, let me just give you one more point. And this is a distinction that I have always appreciated. Long time ago, I learned the distinction between what is called sentimental compassion and effective compassion. Sentimental compassion is when you do something good that makes you feel good. It's not about what changes the situation. It's just something that you did it, but you did it because it made you feel good. What's effective compassion? Effective compassion takes a very realistic view of the situation. You see a need, and you ask the question, how can I help? Whether it makes me feel good or not, that's irrelevant. It hopes it makes you feel good, but it's truly irrelevant because the issue is, how can you help? You make the criteria for what you choose to do to help in any way you can, as if you were the Samaritan on the road. You do something. Folks, not all of us can get out and do everything. Not all of us can be chaplains, or not all of us can be deacons, and not all of us can work in jails or visit hospitals or things like that. But the DSF is specifically for that. All of the parishes in the Galveston, Houston area, all of us pool our money together and we take care of those needs. And so I ask you that when the DSF time comes of filling out whatever you're able to give every month, make a serious decision. You know, I always like to say before we go into the offering, it's not about just throwing money in a basket. It's about whatever God has given to you, that you make sure that it's not just for you, that you share it with people, a portion of it with people who are in need, with your parish and with people who are in need. So think about it. We will be bringing this up again. You will be getting something in the mail. And I really ask you sincerely to think it through. Well, you make the decision in private as to what you give, but you make sure that you give to care for people and to care in the name of Jesus. And that we don't do that last. You know, that's the whole point of tithing. With tithing, you don't give God the leftovers. You give God, you make a decision about what you will give, but then you give him the first part because he is the most important. Thanks for listening.